Children of God, which focuses upon Christ, the Christ child, God's Son, our Savior. The Bible reading is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
A blessed Christmas.
A blessed
Christmas. Yeah, we got it figured out. All right. It is indeed a blessed Christmas as we gather to worship and celebrate the birth of our Savior. There was a grandmother who took her four-year-old granddaughter to the big church for the first time, and she sat there quietly, taking in every aspect of the service, and her attentive curiosity stayed in check until the pastoral prayer. The pastor said, "We thank you, Lord, for your presence." The little girl's eyes flew open. She whispered to her grandmother, "Granny, we're going to get presents." Well, the presence of our Savior is the greatest present that God could have ever given to this world. As we celebrate the birth of our Savior, we celebrate his presence, God's presence with us. Matthew begins his account by sharing these words. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. Now, right now, most of us are thinking, I know we are, because I did too, right? We're thinking of the baby in the manger. We're thinking of Mary and Joseph. We're thinking of the shepherds and the angels. Now, the wise men didn't actually come till much later, so we can kind of put them out of the picture, though maybe we're thinking of them a little bit too. But I want to take you to a moment and focus on a key word in that first verse that I just read there, and that word is birth. We often gloss over that word and don't pay a lot of attention to it, because birth is kind of a normal thing, right? Part of our world. But the word birth in Greek actually is a word that every one of us knows. It is Genesis, right? Genesis. We know that word. Genesis means origin, source, beginning. If we put it in the form of a verb, it means to become, to come into existence, to begin to be. It's no accident that when Moses had that burning bush experience in Exodus chapter 3, when God was going to send Moses to set his people free from bondage in Egypt, that God gave Moses his formal name. Exodus 3:14 states, God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you." So God's name is that verb to be. It's a great reminder that God was, God is, and God always will be. God is a living God, an active God, intimately involved in the life of his creation. If we go back to that word, Genesis, we discover that it's no accident that the first book of the Bible is named for what God was doing. Genesis is the beginning of creation. Of course, God existed before creation because God is above and beyond our whole concept of time, because God simply is. God is the source of all things. And at the birth or Genesis of Christ, God brought the source of creation into our midst. I think it's really amazing when you understand that the Creator himself came down into the midst of his own creation. And the way that God chose to do that, again, it's so wonderfully amazing and yet surprising, and maybe a little, I mean, we would not have chosen to do it that way, okay? But he experienced the fullness of life as we know it, from conception to birth to life to death and to new life beyond. As Revelation 21:5 shares, he who is seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." So often, however, the world reacts to God's intervention in this world in one of two ways. It either rejects God's intervention because God's appearance calls our sinful behavior into question, and we don't like that. That stems from our basic desire as human beings, as broken, sinful human beings, to want to be in control of our own destiny. And we don't want anybody interfering with that, especially not God. That's at the heart of our sinfulness. The other way that the world can react is to wholeheartedly accept what God is doing and to celebrate the fact that God came to save this world. To save it from what? Or from whom, you may ask? To save it from our own fleshly sinful desires. This text, of course, is not without controversy either. Matthew reveals that Mary is pregnant and Joseph is betrothed to her. Certainly is filled with his own doubts and fears when this information is revealed to him. In a way, this represents the world which rejects God's intervention. But Joseph also is a key player here. And so God sends his messenger, his angel, to Joseph in a dream. This is not your average, ordinary, everyday dream or nightmare that we might have. It was a direct vision from God. And this would not be the first dream or vision that Joseph had. If you read Matthew chapter 2, you'll find two other instances when the Holy Family discovers that threat from Herod to want to kill this Christ child. Joseph is told in a dream to go and flee to Egypt. And after Herod dies, an angel comes to him again in a dream and tells them to return, that the danger is over. But in this instance today, in our text in Matthew chapter 1, God comes to Joseph. He comes to calm his fears, to alleviate those doubts as to the nature of this child that Mary is carrying in her womb. It is a Genesis. Again, if we go back to that Greek word for birth, a new thing that God is doing in the world. And yes, Mary and Joseph play a very important role in God's birth among us. Mary, of course, is that great model for us of faithful obedience and unquestioning loyalty toward God. But God also gave Joseph a purpose, an honor, you might say, or the honor of naming this child. Of course, the name was provided by God, but by including Joseph, God was initiating Joseph as the legal father, the foster father to this unborn child. But here's the central part of this message today, and that's the name Jesus. In verse 21, Matthew tells us the importance of that name. Jesus literally means God saves. The name is descriptive of what Jesus came to do, to save his people from their sins. You see, Jesus was born to die for the sins of the world, to die for our sins. And he died so that you and I might live eternally with God in heaven. That's why God came to be with us. We are told that this is all a fulfillment of a prophecy from way back in Isaiah's time. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. My home congregation, I see Pastor Bobby's home congregation was the same one, Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Pflugerville. And I also served a previous congregation in Lavernia, which was also Emmanuel Lutheran Church. So that name, Emmanuel, has a lot of meaning for my life. There was a pastor, Clifford Stewart, of Louisville, Kentucky, who one year for Christmas sent his parents a microwave oven, first one they ever had. And here's how he recalls that experience. They were excited. They now, too, could be a part of the instant generation. When Dad unpacked the microwave and plugged it in, literally within seconds, the microwave transformed two smiles into two frowns. Even after reading the directions, they couldn't make it work. 2 days later, he said, my mother was playing bridge with a friend and confessed her inability to even microwave or use that microwave to boil water. To get this darn thing to work, she exclaimed, I don't need better directions. I needed my son to come along with the gift. Wow, there it is. When God gave us the gift of salvation, he didn't send a booklet of complicated messages or instructions. He sent his son. Emmanuel means God with us. And yeah, God gave us the law. God gave us that set of instructions. But we've never learned how to follow them completely. We fail again and again and again. So God sent his only begotten son to be with us, to do what none of us could do, to fulfill the law and to save us from our sin. I love Matthew's gospel because it both ends or begins and ends with that promise that God is with us. Of course, here at the beginning we have the Emmanuel, and with the birth of Jesus we have the Creator coming down into his own creation. At the end of Matthew's gospel, where Jesus returns to the Father, he gives the church our great commission to go and make disciples, to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And at the very end, the very last verse of Matthew, here's that promise that even though Jesus returns to the Father, here it is, behold, he says, I am with you always to the end of the age. What a promise that is. We hear that same promise in other places in Scripture. In Hebrews 13:5, we hear it this way, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In the heart of a psalm that we know so well, Psalm 23, when our greatest fears are named, that we are walking through the valleys of the shadow of death, we also hear these comforting words. I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Of course, the ultimate promise, one of my favorite passages in Scripture, comes from Jesus himself in John 14, verses 2 and 3. Jesus says, I've told you that I've gone to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. What a promise that is. As we celebrate the birth, the genesis of our Savior Jesus Christ, may we be reminded that he is and will always be with us throughout the end of the age and beyond as we look ahead to that promise of eternal life with him. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Amen.